If you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Well, God is calling. We particularly want to talk about that during Lent, but God is always calling. You and me, God's always calling. And John Wesley says that God began calling us long before we had even an inkling of who he was. And that's called God's prevenient grace. The grace that comes before. That's what Wesley called it. Prevenient grace. And so the Holy Spirit began wooing us, begging us, pleading with us, making things happen in our life to make us aware of his presence and convicting us. And converting us, you know, just bringing us to that point in our life where we realized we were sinners and we needed salvation. That's prevenient grace. And God didn't give up. God kept calling us until we got to the point where we were willing to repent of our sin and accept Christ into our lives. We invited Jesus in. Now, John Wesley called that justifying grace. And God still doesn't quit. God continues to work in our lives. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, he then begins to clean us up, to get rid of the impurities, to make us more holy. And John Wesley called that sanctifying grace, being made holy, being made more Christ-like. So God is always calling us. And let me ask you, why do you call somebody? Who might you call? Who would you call? Friends? You really would call him? Okay. Family? He would call family. Who else might you call? Doctor? Pizza shop? Let me ask you. I wouldn't call any of you right now because you're here, right? So why do we call people then? We call them to keep in touch. Why else might you say we call people? Pass along information to see if they're okay. And what was that? Offer help. So we call people to communicate with them. In some way or another, we call them to get their attention, would be fair to say, right? We want to get their attention and offer them help, see if they're okay, to see what's going on, just to converse with them. We call them because they're not where we're at. And so God calls us because we are not where he is at. When God was first calling us, there was something that separated us from God. We say that God is everywhere, so why did he have to call us? What is it that separated us from God? And that's real simple. Most of us know that. It's sin. Sin is the impurity in our lives that separates us from God, puts up a barrier. It distracts us. But God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, keeps calling us until that point when we are convicted, and we repent of our sin. See, when the phone rings in your house, what do? You let it ring? That's Bonnie. Let it ring. She doesn't. If you're expecting to get somebody at my home by calling my house phone, forget it. She will not answer it. I mean, in the, over a year and a half that we've been there, I think we've had maybe 3 phone calls for us on the phone. Everything else has always been telemarketers or political stuff and Leanna Lake and David Lake and, you know, it's just nobody calls for us on our house phone. It's all on the cell phone if they want us. So remember that. You want me, call me on my cell phone, which is in the bulletin. But let's just say you're a normal, traditional person. I love you, dear. What would you do when your phone rang? And say hello? You'd say hello. So when God calls us, it's not hello we have to say. When God is calling us to come into his presence, there's something very important we have to do, because we can't go into his presence and it is get rid of that sin. And we do that through repentance. We have got to repent of the sin in our lives, surrender our lives by inviting Jesus in to take control. Then God is able to bring us into his presence. Because God, in his holy nature, cannot abide sin in his presence. It's not a choice that he makes, it's just the facts. He is holy and righteous. So we have the prevenient grace that woos us and calls us to God. We have the justifying grace of accepting Christ, and he paid the price for our sins on the cross. And we have sanctifying grace, which makes us more holy. And then we have those impurities in our lives that we need to get rid of in order to hear God and to be in God's presence. We need to repent when we accept Christ. We have to repent. And, you know, we have any jewelers here? Any jewelers? Anybody here have a lot of jewelry? Anybody here like jewelry? That was all ladies' hands. They're all ladies. You know, when a jeweler gets, let's say, silver, when he gets the raw material, it's ore, and he receives this chunk of ore, and in it is silver, but along with the silver, there's a lot of impurities. There's dirt and stones and, you know, rocks and ash and other minerals and that he doesn't want in there. He just wants the silver. So what he does is he heats it up. Now, there's other chemicals that he adds in the process, but the main thing is he heats it up until it gets to the melting point, and all of a sudden that silver goes from being hard to running out, soft. And you know what happens to all those impurities? They float on top. And so he skims off the impurities. Now, those impurities, they're called dross. D-R-O-S-S, dross, things that are unnecessary, things that are wasteful, things that are impure, garbage, dross. Now hold on to that word, D-R-O-S-S. You can impress your neighbors, slip that into conversation. Oh, that's just a lot of dross. Say what? Dross. Yeah. But that's what God does in our lives. See, in James chapter 1, it says, count it pure joy when you go through trials and tribulations. Because trials and tribulations work perseverance. Perseverance works faith. And so the trials and tribulations that God allows to come into our lives, he sees us through them. But during those trials and tribulations, we learn to trust in God, and we begin to put the things of the world behind us. Because all of a sudden we find out they're not important. God is important. Because I'm in this trial and tribulation, and these things of the world can't help me, but God can. And so our faith grows, and all of this garbage, this dross, then by faith is swept away. And we become more holy and more Christ-like. Now, of course, we backslide and we wander away, and God continues to call us. We need to repent of our sins, always struggling with the flesh. And there's dross that we need to continually keep cleaned out of our lives. But that's the process that we go through as Christians. You know, I wish I could tell you that being a Christian is, well, it's a cakewalk. It's peace. It's fun, you know. Being a Christian, that's, woohoo, yeah. Yeah, all hunky-dory. I wish I could tell you that being a church is all about having fun and playing games and eating a lot of good food and being entertained and having a nice place, and that's all there was to it, getting together and hanging out with each other. But I would be leading you astray if I said that, because in truth, being the church, the body of Christ, is tough. It's difficult. It means getting along with each other, and not just getting along, but calling each other family and loving each other even though we're different. And it means making sacrifices. It means digging deep in our pockets and supporting ministries and creating new ministries. It means digging deep into our schedules and spending time doing things when we'd rather be doing something else. It means cleaning out the dross out of our lives so that we can do the things that God wants us to do through this body of Christ to change the world, to turn it upside down, to save souls before it's too late. Too late for them or too late for all of us. It's not easy being a Christian, and I won't lie to you about that. It's the toughest job in the whole world. Loving people when you don't feel like it. But you love them because God said to. And as we clean that dross out, it gets easier to love people because we're using the love of God, not our love. Jesus was called out of Nazareth of Galilee to be baptized by John. And when he was baptized by John, who didn't want to do it, John said, you know, I should be baptized by you. Jesus said, let's do this for now to fulfill all righteousness. I'm doing it because God the Father said to. And so he baptizes him. When he comes up out of the water, Mark says that heaven is torn apart. Not just the heavens open, but heaven is torn apart with force and power. And the Holy Spirit comes down out of this torn apart heaven. The Holy Spirit comes down like a dove and settles on Jesus. And then a voice booms through the air and says, this is my beloved Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then what does the Holy Spirit immediately do to Jesus according to the Word of God? Drives him into the wilderness. Let those who have ears hear. When you answer the call of God upon your life and you become a Christian, the first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be a test. And there's going to be a test, and there's going to be a test, and there's always going to be a test. Because continually, two things are going to happen. One, God's going to allow trials and tribulations to come upon us so that he can get rid of the dross in our lives. Two, Satan isn't going to like you being a Christian. And he's going to fight you tooth and nail. He's going to try to add dross to your life to distract you, to break you down, you know, like he tried to do to Jesus. You know, there are some Christians that when they get up in the morning, Satan don't pay any attention. When they wander off to church, Satan don't pay any attention, because he knows along the way they're going to gossip and lie and be lazy and just, you know, they don't set a good example. And then there are some Christians that when they wake up, Satan goes, oh no, they're awake. I would invite you to walk through your home and see what kind of dross you have in your house. Take a walk room by room. Take a notepad with you. Write things down to pray about them, maybe to ask about them. You know, I have this stuff in my house, and I'm not sure if it's taking me away from God or not. Maybe it's leading to some kind of idol worship. Maybe it's something I pay too much attention to, spend too much time on. Maybe it's, just imagine if you would invite Jesus to your house. You know, if I invited Jesus to our house, I could show him around all the rooms, and I get to that back bedroom or the front bedroom, and we've got a bookcase in the corner that I have my DVDs on. That bookcase is tall, and it's wide. If you want DVDs to watch, you know you're going to have you want a movie night? Give me a call. Come on over and borrow some. You'll have to fill out a background check and some other information, but I got all kind of DVDs. And guys, my DVDs, it's not worth buying unless something blows up or somebody gets killed in the first 10 minutes. So, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe God would say, I don't know about this. But this is Lent. God is calling. And I don't know what stage of that call you're at. But to hear God more clearly, we need to repent of the sin in our lives, get rid of the dross. And God is giving us plenty of opportunity to do that through our trials and tribulations. Get rid of that dross and invite Jesus in. Search your heart, your life, your home. See what needs to change for God's honor and glory and praise. God loves you, and so do I.